Right, so there's the titles we're going to be looking at over this particular month. And tonight, this afternoon, the influence of Christianity on the world. Last week we looked at an introduction to Christianity, and you may remember, I've just got a slide or so that Leonard used while we were together last week. So just to make the link between where we are now and where we were last week, just one or two slides on that. Christianity, what's it all about? And Leonard was telling us that Christianity was about, first of all, about Christ. And that's why the name Christianity has come to be. And Christians took upon them the name of Christ when they put their faith and trust in him. And so Christ at the beginning. And then the word Christian came from that. But you also notice there was one other little word that was in there, and it was the word I. And so it was a personal thing. It was something important for individuals. It was, although Christians, we see the group of Christians as a big group of people in the world, it all starts with individuals, each individual person becoming a Christian, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Its founder, its followers, and its focus. So its founder was Christ. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are Christians, and the focus is on the person, on the individual, people's hearts with God. And so what about the influence of Christianity upon the world? We're going to read a verse or two of Scripture then together, right at the beginning of John's Gospel. We want to read just a verse or two in relation to the Lord Jesus. So right at the very beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, says the Scripture, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same was came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, that the true light, which lighteth every man, cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I'm sure God will bless the reading of his holy word this afternoon. One of the other words that we could use in relation to Christians in the world is the sons of God. Now that doesn't mean that it's only boys that can get saved and men that can get saved. It really means everyone who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour becomes a son. It comes into the benefits of being a son of God, and how marvellous that is. And so John in his Gospel is reminding us that the Lord Jesus came into the world. And so the influence of Christianity in the world began with the coming of Christ into the world. There would have been no influence, in a sense, although God influenced the world from above in that he created it, but there would be no great influence towards salvation if the Lord Jesus hadn't come. He came to Bethlehem, we were singing about that. He went to the cross of Calvary, we were thinking about that. The Lord Jesus died at Calvary so that we can become the sons of God, so that we can become Christians if we believe on him. Now, you'll notice the distinction. It's not a case that everyone in the world will become a Christian whenever the Lord Jesus comes into the world. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible's very clear about it, that if we believe in him, if we put our faith and trust in him, then we will become Christians and we will be saved from our sin. Now we're going to be thinking about a few of these things. And there's one thing we could say, and that is this, that there is no point in any faith if it doesn't have an impact for good on people, on individuals, and on the individuals or their families, and on communities, and we can widen that out right to the whole world. There is no point in a faith unless it has an impact for good. Now, you'll notice I've been clear about that. It's not just an impact. You could just about say any religion and any faith or other that you want to name has an impact of some kind. But we look for an impact for good. And when the Lord Jesus came into the world, the point was that he came to make an impact for good in this world. He came into a world which was full of sinners. You and me, folk like you and me, sinners. Now you make me say, wait a minute, you can't really call me a sinner. Well, really it's not me that's calling you a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner. It said I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And we all need to be saved from our sin. And so the impact of the gospel, the impact of Christianity, the impact of Christ coming into the world was going to be an impact for good. And it starts with individuals. That's what Leonard said last week. It's all to do with I. It's an individual responsibility. So an impact for good, an impact for good on the individual and on families and on communities and going further afield into the whole world. Now, what kind of impact was envisaged by God then? If he was going to make an impact in this world, what was it he really wanted to do? Well, here are the things he wanted to do. He wanted to deliver people. He wanted people to have salvation from their sin. And he wanted people to be bought back or redeemed back to God. That was the purpose of it all. Now, you might say there's more than that. And those of us who know our Bibles, probably, you could say there's a great deal more to it than that. But I suppose these are the kind of the major points about this influence in the world. If it was going to influence people, if Christianity, if Christ was going to influence men and women, then it was to deliver them. What did we need delivered from? What did we need saved from? And what did we need redeemed from? And these are the important things. So how do these things manifest themselves in the people of you and me? How could they manifest themselves? How would you notice the difference between someone who was a Christian and someone who wasn't? That's important now, because there should be a real difference in the world today between Christians and non-Christians. The Lord Jesus said to people long ago, he said, you're the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted again? In other words, it's good for nothing but to be cast out. And so in other words, if you're a Christian today and they're in this building and you're a Christian, you should be making a difference in the world around about you. But here are the things that people are changed. People's lives are changed. No longer under the power of sin and Satan. Now that's not to say Christians never sin. That's not what I'm saying here now. But the ultimate power in our lives is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who came, that John was writing about. And he came to bring light into the world. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ should be that which shines out of us. We shouldn't be noted for our sin. And we're taken away and we're saved from the power of sin. I wonder if you today feel that God has ever saved you from the power of sin. Does sin still have its power over your life? It's important, you see. That's why the Lord Jesus came, that we might be saved from the power of sin. Not only that, those of us who are believers and Christians, we're saved from the penalty of sin. Now, sin has a penalty. You know, I suppose if you've ever had a speeding ticket, then you'll realise that it's got a penalty attached to it. I don't know what it is at the minute, but it's bound to be more than it used to be. It used to be £30 or something, I think. It's double that now, maybe more, for a speeding ticket. And that's a small thing in a sense, a speeding ticket. But God's penalty against sin is death. Eternal death. Did you ever thank God, if you're a Christian today, that he saved you from the power of sin? But he's not only that, he saved you from the penalty of sin, eternal death. How could it be that God could save us from that? Well, it was all because the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross to save us from the penalty of sin. And if you've taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour today, then you're saved not only from the power of sin, but you're saved from the penalty of sin. I need to tell you this afternoon, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never asked for his forgiveness, then not only are you not saved from the power of sin, you're yet not saved from the penalty of sin. Has there been a moment in your life where you sought the Lord, where you asked God for to cleanse you from your sin and take it away and become a Christian? That's what it's all about. And it changes lives and it changes people. And then says the scriptures, it tells us of a day not only when we'll be taken away from the power of sin and the penalty of sin is no longer ours, but we'll be removed from the very presence of sin. And we're going to speak about that in a wee while when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take us right out of this world. So that was the whole point of this, how it's manifest in us and how that's going to change. We're redeemed. Now, redeemed just means the price has been paid. We've been bought back to God when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord. So the effect of this is seen in the world, or it should be seen in the world. The effect is this, and there's some of the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in men's lives in this world. I don't know if you've noticed it. Wild men are calmed down. You might scoff at that a little. I need to tell you today, I've met men who were wild men and have been calmed down by the power of the Almighty God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Drunk men are made sober. They're delivered from that. Relationships are changed. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and Amy's not here, so she can't verify this, but there's a story about her grand and grandpa. And the two of them, one was in Cyprus in the army, and the other one was in Wales waiting. And the two of them weren't getting on together. And they decided that at some point they would send a letter to each other and just say, look, I think our marriage is over. And I think we're just going to finish it all. And they'd both separately come to this kind of arrangement in their minds. And the relationship was over, really. But independently of each other, in Cyprus, Ian Ross got converted. And in Wales, Krista Ross was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. She became a Christian. He became a Christian. And instead of sending letters to each other to say it's all over, they sent letters to each other to say we've got saved. We need to realize, we need to sort this relationship out. It deals with relationships. Christ deals with relationships in the world. He is able to deal with problems in our relationships. Simple things in the world that we all think are simple. You know, the vast majority of the children of the last century would never have been educated had it not been for the Christian influence in the world. Starting up schools. A lot of people would never have been able to go to a hospital had it not been for the influence of Christians opening places to try and help people with their health. There was orphanages that were opened up and missionaries went abroad to teach the gospel to other people. The work of the Christian community. Now, we're not trying to say to you today that we're going to puff out our chest and say there's nobody like us and we're wonderful. This is the power of God in people's lives. It's not our power. It's not the power of Christians, it's the power of God manifested in the lives of Christians as they live in this day and generation. And in the generations past, and we couldn't go into the history of it all, what God has done through the work of Christ in the lives of individuals. What about a missionary from Fife? You think there's ever been missionaries in Fife? Well, in actual fact, there's quite a lot of missionaries in Fife. You go to Cowdenbeath, you'll meet one or two. But there used to be a man in his from Fife called Henry King. And he became a Christian as a young man in central Scotland. At home somewhere I've got a videotape of him telling how he got saved. Remarkable conversion to Christ through the Lord Jesus working in his life. And he became a Christian and God spoke to him and said to him, I want you to go to Brazil. And he went to Brazil in 1932 when he was a young man in his 20s. and he preached the gospel, and he taught the people about the Bible, and he died when he was 94, and it was all because of the work of Christ in his life. Henry King. Went to visit him when he was 90 in the year 2000, or 2002. And a remarkable man he was, still going strong for the Lord after all these years. He spent probably the longest time abroad as a Christian missionary than any other man has ever done. Even David Livingstone, whom you know about. Henry King spent a longer time in Brazil than anyone else has ever done, and is likely to do in a sense. 94 when he died. The work of Christ in the individual's life. What about David Livingstone? People want to know him as an African explorer, you know. Today, they've taken out the Christian out of David Livingstone, in a sense. But you couldn't take the Christ out of David Livingstone. He had a major effect in places like Malawi. Today, thousands are becoming Christians in Africa and Asia and South America. Many are becoming Christians because of the furthering influence of Christ through David Livingstone all these years ago. It's still working. He's still working. Christ is still working in these places and in this country too, and all of Europe, because of men like David Livingstone. What about a man called Hudson Taylor? Hudson Taylor went off to China to preach the gospel, and he lived a very difficult life preaching and teaching the gospel. What about a woman called Gladys Aylward in China, looking after children and telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ? She had a hard life, Gladys Aylward, telling of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about Fred Stanley Arnott of Africa, a contemporary of Livingstone, I suppose, in a sense, whose grandfather was responsible for the building of this church, I suppose, in a sense. That's why it's called the Arnott Gospel Hall. These are people who were influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just some kind of thing to keep them occupied. They were driven by the eternal God, by the Spirit of God, to go out into the world and to preach the gospel and to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to save. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mr. Eternity. Mr. Eternity lived in Australia, and his name was Arthur Stace, and he was a converted alcoholic. He was illiterate. He couldn't write at all. Apart from one word, he heard the gospel and he became enamored with the notion of eternity. And he spent his time after that, he wrote Eternity in chalk on the streets of Sydney to tell people about the need for to get right with God for eternity. And that's what people called him. They forgot his name was Arthur Stace. And from that time on, they called him Mr. Eternity. When you came across him in the street, he had written in copperplate, a man who couldn't write. He wrote in copperplate, only one word, eternity. What is it all about? And he understood what eternity was, and to get right with God for eternity. And we saw it in that last one. That was on the millennium, the new year at millennium, when his word eternity was written on Sydney Harbour Bridge. Long after he had died, he's remembered in Australia for teaching people about the need to get the Lord Jesus Christ before we ever reach eternity. It's important, you see. And here's the verse that brought him to the Lord. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Christianity has an effect. Christ has an effect on people's lives. And it had an effect on Arthur Stace. And the word of God had an effect on Arthur Stace. He couldn't read it, but he could hear it. And it doesn't matter if you can read it. If you can hear it, you can respond to it. Respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life through Christ. Here's a question now. If Christians have an effect in the world, if Christianity has an effect in the world, what would be the effect if there was no Christians in the world? There's a question to ponder. What would be the effect if there were no Christians in the world? And you might say, oh, well, it'd be an easier place to live. You wouldn't have these people preaching at you all the time about Christianity. But you know, there's a day coming, and the Bible tells us of it, when the Christians in the world will leave. Now, I want to read these verses to you, just so you get the drift of what God is saying. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. And just let's find the section of the Word of God. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this: But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that is, physically dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep or are dead physically in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so there's a passage of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul is telling the people at Thessalonica, he's saying, there's a day coming, and I need to tell you about it, that there's going to be a shout from heaven, and the Lord shall come and he'll descend to the clouds, and every single Christian that's ever been, every single body of a Christian that's left in the world in a grave somewhere at the bottom of the ocean, burnt in a fire, it doesn't matter where they are, they will go to heaven, these bodies. And those of us who are alive and remain, and if the Lord Jesus came right at this very moment in time, and he could, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, who call ourselves Christians, would disappear out of this world. We should be caught up to him. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Why do we need to be changed? Well, these physical bodies of ours are no good to us down here. Up there, they're okay down here. They're no good up there. We need to be changed into a different body. So there's a day coming. Now, what I need to ask you a question is this. Do you want to wait to find out what it's going to be like with no Christians in the world? Do you really want to find out what it's going to be like without Christians in the world? There is a day coming when that's going to be the case. It could be today. It's a serious issue now. It is the most serious issue that you will ever come across in your life as to whether you want to believe what the Bible says or you don't. Now, it sounds simple, but it's difficult in a sense. People find it difficult just to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. And here's a question. Look at the question at the top. Are you a Christian? Are you going to come out for Christ? And you say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, I need to ask you, do you fall into these categories below here? Have you confessed your sins before God? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to protect you from God's anger against your sins? If you ask him, he will cleanse you from your sins by the blood that he shed at Calvary's cross. And God will no longer hold your sin against you. It's not a case of just saying I'm a Christian. There are folks out there today in this world, sadly, who seem to think that if they call themselves Christians or born-again Christians, well, that'll be all right. But you'll notice what we're saying, that a Christian is a person who has come before God realizing that they're a sinner and confessed their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to be protected, because God has got anger against sin and only Christ can protect us through the blood which he shed at Calvary. And when he has cleansed us from our sin, God will no longer hold our sin against us. But if you've never done these things, calling yourself Christian is no good enough. You remember what the scripture said? We were reading it, I think, in the Bible reading recently. There are folks who are going to come to God in a day to come and say, we said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. And he said, just you depart from me, I don't know you. It's not that he doesn't know your name. It's not that he doesn't know where you come from. He doesn't know the color of your hair or the color of your eyes. It's not that he doesn't know the very number of the hairs of your head, but he doesn't know you because your name's not written down in heaven as one who has been converted, one who's been saved, one who's truly become a Christian. And so when we ask the question, are you a Christian? We need to get to the real root of it. Have you really repented of your sin? Have you turned away from sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation? Now, these are important things. These are not trifles. These are not things we can just sort of accept or reject in a sort of off-handed way. These are things we really must consider. These are things we really must take to heart. That the Lord Jesus Christ that we're reading about in John, he came into the world. And he came for a purpose. Says the Lord Jesus, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, you might think you've got the best life out there. Or you might think you've got the worst life out there. But the important thing is this. If you don't have the life that Christ gives, you don't have life worth having at all. And the Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it to its absolute full. And if you'll take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, if you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, then you'll have life to the full, and you'll be heading for heaven. And you can truly say, with all of those who have gone before, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a disciple of his. If you want the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what you need to do. Repent of your sin and put your trust in him for eternal salvation. Shall we pray?